Welcome to E2T Adventures. Explore, experience, thrive, be adventure. Where we're celebrating all women in the outdoors as we change the gear industry to fit all women's needs.
Hi, I'm Marcy Nault, and this is E2T Adventures. And today we are talking about how women settle. They settle in the gear industry and what they buy and just think, oh, it's enough. But today we're talking about how we have settled for almost 100 years in something that is so personal to us. And that is in our breasts and our bras and our support. Now, no matter what group I'm in on Facebook or Instagram or forums, whether it's whitewater kayaking, marathon running, hiking, mountain biking, the question always comes up, what do you use for a bra to feel completely supported? And there's all these different ones, but for the most part, everyone is settling. Now, I know for myself, this is a very, very personal topic because I woke up one day and pretty much I developed. And my mom was just like, okay, do I send a note to the principal? And do we say Marcy developed overnight, we need to go find her bras? And I was very, very athletic. And so I remember playing softball and trying to pitch and hitting into my breast and the ball going flying in another direction and actually changing the maneuver once I developed so that I could whip the ball around and not actually hit my breast. And so it ended up causing problems in my shoulders and in my pectoral muscles. Not only that, I began to feel like I had to just smush myself down. How many bras could I put on in order to go and jump in figure skating? And so I began to hate bras. And I am definitely one of those people that went out and settled. It's like, they don't fit right. They're not great. So I'm just gonna buy the $7.99 bra at TJ Maxx. And it's going to be good enough because it doesn't make a difference what I buy. And so today, I don't want to settle anymore. And I don't want any other woman to settle anymore for not having the right support and the right bra to be able to go out there and just kill it in any of their sports or to just walk around every day. And so I'd like to introduce you to Catherine Betts and Danielle Reese, who have taken on the $25 billion a year industry that is the bra industry to bring women a bra that actually supports them. Thank you, Danielle and Catherine, for being here today.
Thanks for having us, Marcy. We're so excited.
So when I was thinking about doing this podcast, I did a little research. Now, like I said, bras are $25 billion a year. For all you women listening to this, we are spending $25 billion a year in an industry that has not changed itself in 100 years and has just simply told women to settle and that in some ways they're wrong, that their bodies are wrong, that they don't need the support that they need or that they want, or they've stuffed them into a size that they think is what, how do I put this? I'm an A, I'm a B, I'm a C, I'm a double D. And with that goes these ideas in our head of our value and our worth. So some of the statistics here are that 80% of women are in the wrong bra size. 80% are wearing the wrong size. 59% of women say that they have back and neck problems due to their bras. And 79% of marathon runners said they have at least one fit issue and are uncomfortable in their sports bras. We are spending $25 billion a year for 80% of us to not be comfortable and not have the right support. So, Catherine, you decided to take on a $25 billion industry and actually bring women what they need and to allow them to not settle for less than what they deserve. How did that come about?
Oh, Marcy, that's a really great question. So where do I begin? So we actually have very similar stories. I also developed overnight when I turned about 16 years old. I swear it was just over, it was more like over a summer. I started out as an A cup and got back to school after the summer, and I was a double D, if not F cup. And I was a competitive soccer player, tennis, and track. I was a competitive with the mile in high school, and kind of, you know, knew nothing about bras, and really, to your point of just like, how do I explain this? The self-worth thing is a really interesting point that you bring up. Like, I was a tomboy, and I wanted nothing. I didn't want breasts. Like, they were such a sad situation for me. Like, all I wanted was to play soccer and be an athlete, and all of a sudden now I was getting attention from boys in ways in which I didn't want it, and having to figure out what I was going to do with these boobs that were getting in the way of my dreams, I guess you could say. And so this was just the beginning of what became I'm 37 now, so a very, very long time of struggles. And I would wear like 2 to 3 sports bras at a time just to try and keep them from moving whatsoever. And I ended up developing a lot of neck and shoulder pain from wearing too many straps over my neck and shoulders. And so, yeah. And when I went off to play Division I soccer in college, I continued to do that. And we were, you know, playing that many more hours a day. And sorry, I have such a hard time telling my story. So anyways, I go off to play college soccer. Problem continues. I honestly was harassed in a lot of matches as well. I specifically remember traveling to University of Arizona, and it was Halloween, and all the fraternity boys were at our game and playing right side mid and having to sprint past them throughout the entire match. And all of them together were yelling, boomcha, 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 every time I ran past. And it was just mortifying. And my coach ended up switching me to play left mid, and then just to like stop the harassment. And a similar story ended up happening when I became a personal trainer and did this course called Move Nat, which stands for Move Naturally. And I was out in the wilderness for 2 weeks with one other female and about 15 men, learning how to survive in the wilderness and climb trees and work on our running form. And we were on the beach one day, and it was a gait analysis day. So the goal was to critique each other's running form and give advice on how to be more efficient in our stride. And I had no idea that this was what we had ahead for the day. And I showed up in like a very casual bra that I could wear comfortably for the entire day, because we were out moving for 14 hours straight, and I didn't want to wear my usual 3 sports bras. And so I was pretty much first up for this gait analysis and started my sprint, and I could instantly just feel my breasts like tearing from side to side and practically smacking me in the face, and all these men just staring at me as I'm doing my gait analysis. And pretty much every single one of them was like, that was good, moving on, perfect, don't want to critique, because everyone felt so uncomfortable after what they had just witnessed that no one could even think to critique my running form. All they could keep their eye on and during that time was my bouncing boobs. And so that was just, you know, another kind of crazy story that I have a million more to go with. And so I, after college, became a trainer and would spend like 12 hours, if not more, a day in my sports bras like I did in college. And having to figure out like a way to be comfortable all day long, but also supported enough to be able to demonstrate something for my clients or go on a run with a client or, you know, just, I've trained a lot of youth soccer players. And so at times we're doing agility drills. I mean, like the amount of picking and choosing for my sports bra each day was troublesome. And so I actually went to Arizona again, surprisingly, to study neuroscience. And for 4 years, I traveled out there and worked with this company and became extremely inspired by everything I was learning. And in one of my last courses, we were talking about how pain wires into our nervous system. Wow. And in this very kind of weird test, with one of the students in the class, we were lifting up my bra strap and taking the pressure off and doing some muscle tests. And all of a sudden my strength increased like tenfold by not having the pressure where I've had that for my entire life. And I was super fascinated. And so we kept playing with it. And what I realized was that after, you know, 20 plus years of wearing sports bras on my trapezius muscles, that my body just eventually like shut down the strength in my system because of all the pain I had been experiencing. Yeah. And so I, you know, just left the course with like a kind of moment of like, wow, that was really interesting. Like, why am I wearing bras then that are hurting my performance so much? Why hasn't anyone like talked about this? And is there something to it? So when I got home, I took 30 of my sports bras and I started playing with them, cutting them up, getting ribbon, like literally Frankensteining about like, yeah, 30 of my bras. And that story is very long, taking ace bandages, like experimenting with how to keep my breasts from moving, but doing it in a way that didn't cause pain, like from like too much compression, or it was all about how do I stop my breasts from moving, but in a way that allows me to run naturally and move the way I've always wanted to be able to move without pain in my neck and shoulders. And so after like tons of trial and error and kind of relating to tennis shoes and cinching up a corset and different other devices out there that, and oh, it's so hard to explain how I came up with this. I guess, let's see. So, I mean, literally for an entire year, I took all my sports bras, running shoes, all this stuff, bought a sewing machine, taught myself to sew and learn patterns, and had an aha moment when I finally created a prototype that did not cause pain and stop my breasts from moving. And so I started doing patent research and just looking into starting a business. And I just felt like I was onto something and I had to do this. I had no experience in the industry, had never touched a sewing machine, like ever really paid much attention to my apparel ever. But I was like, okay, this is my calling. Like I just knew it. And so I've spent now, it's going on 8 years, working on developing this product and beta testing it with thousands of women. And yeah, so here we are today.
That's incredible. You know, I keep saying that E2T Adventures and my goal and dream that no woman will have to settle in outdoor gear ever again or just sports gear has begun with now 5 women who didn't know how to sew, but knew that there was a problem and either borrowed a sewing machine, took a sewing class, or found someone who knew how to sew. And it's so interesting because when you think back in history of women sewing clothes, of they were the beginning of how things were made and how we've gotten so far away from things being made right for women is incredible. And so now I feel like we're starting this revolution of women like you who are like, this is a problem. I'm not willing to settle anymore. I don't want to live in pain. I don't want to live in discomfort. And something has to change. And taking that massive risk, like you're talking about, not knowing about business, not knowing about sewing, and saying, I'm going to find a solution. And what's incredible is that you have. And so I want you to talk for just a moment of where the support comes from in the Betts Fitz bra.
Yeah, that's such a good question. So, you know, I don't like to answer it in the traditional way. Like if you look at statistics out there, it'll say 80% of the support comes from the bottom band and very little from the shoulder strap. And there's some kind of false facts out there, actually. There's some truth to them, but I don't know how they really come up with those numbers, because in our testing, they don't really hold to be true. I would definitely say that the foundation of the support comes from the band. So if you do not have a nice, snug, but relaxed enough band where you can breathe properly, allow diaphragmatic breathing and all that, you 100% will lose support in the rest of the bra. But if you do not have all the other things that create support, like encapsulation with a combination of compression and really good lift and strong materials that, you know, hold everything in snugly, then the rest of the fit isn't really going to work out either. So after like so much trial and error with slow motion footage and testing all of my competitor bras, and each time we created a new prototype doing slow motion footage, I learned so much about where the support actually comes from. And so we took all of that research and applied it to the bra that we have today.
That's incredible. I don't think anyone has put that much thought, slow motion video, and really looking at that women are incredibly active. You know, it's like the sports bra, when I think about it, it's like, yes, there's this, the material is nothing different than the tights that I wear, and it goes around my breasts and it kind of like smooshes me down and it's not really that comfortable. And, you know, and at the end of the day, I can't wait to take it off. My mom used to come home from work and like best part of the day is being out of a bra, you know, and yours, it's like, it kind of like molds to the body, and it gives support. Like talk about the corset portion.
Yeah. So that's exactly right. So my big struggle too is choosing between comfort or support. Like I could wear a comfortable bra or a supportive one, but I never could have the combination of both. And the problem with that was a supportive one, it was the one you always wanted to rip off at the end of the day. So, but there is a level of I don't want to call it discomfort, but like your breasts do have to be compressed somewhat in order to get a good supportive fit. And so my goal was to put you in a supportive bra, but allow you to stay in it and still be comfortable. So that really ended up coming from, the only way to really achieve that was to allow you to kind of release different aspects of the bra. So we actually are the only, we have a patent for our corset that allows you to release the compression and then, you know, still stay in the bra. And you can also release the bottom band so you can breathe a little more freely and also loosen the shoulder straps. So you're really in a traditional comfortable bra when you're done working out. And that way you don't feel like you have to like run to the bathroom or change on the field or, you know, sprint home and change to get back out with your friends for coffee or drinks or whatever kind of thing.
Awesome. So I wanted to talk about taking on a $25 billion industry that has mega money to do huge runs and still charge $100 for their bras, even though they're probably going to China and paying $5. And they can get into distribution channels and give, you know, big discounts to those companies. And Danielle, how did you end up coming on to this mission and being part of Betts Fitz?
Sure. So Catherine and I actually met at a pitch competition for female founders in Reno. And at the time, I was a co-founder at a women's ski manufacturing company and was one of the judges. And I was super impressed with Catherine's story. Her personal story deeply resonated. I'm also a former Division I athlete. And although I wasn't as busty as Catherine growing up, I certainly, and you can probably relate as a pitcher, Mercy, have shoulder injuries from playing water polo. And then I also have neck and back injuries from car accidents. And so as a, you know, an athlete, mountain biker, trail runner, skier, I feel like I have a lot of the pain points that women who are more busty have. And then interestingly enough, now that I'm in my 40s, I actually am a much larger cup size than I was in my 20s. And let's face it, as we age, we need more support. And so the need for a supportive sports bra is something that I think is an essential piece of gear for all women. And you don't have to be a marathon runner, you know, to need it. Actually, after wearing the Betts Fit, I've noticed that when I don't wear the Betts Fit and I'm skiing, my breasts are moving. And it's like, what? You know, I was like, it didn't even occur to me. I don't think of skiing per se, you know, even though I ski steeps and I ski bumps, as being a quote unquote high impact activity where, you know, someone would need extra support. But once you've worn support and you've had it, you know, we've just gotten used to our breasts moving in a way that, you know, that I think is kind of unacceptable, you know. You know, if this problem was something that male athletes had, you know, if men were wearing two jock straps to play, you know, football or basketball, you know, they would have solved this problem a long time ago.
Absolutely.
You know, that's a thing. So anyway, when Catherine and I met, I was super impressed with the product and with her, and we decided to keep in touch. She was super excited about, you know, my experience bringing a product to market and growing a brand in the outdoor industry in the Tahoe area. Once I moved on from Coalition Snow, Catherine and I kept talking, and I was very excited to come on as a co-founder a couple of years ago.
That's fantastic. And, you know, you were talking about the different cup size, and there's always been this thing about like what size a woman is. And, you know, in my research, I found out, and I'm going to, in the comments below and in the information about this podcast, put this TEDx talk from a lingerie designer who did the history of the bra, and you will be shocked. And you will never want to be part of the $25 billion industry anymore. And you will definitely, as a woman, want to support Betts Fits, because you will realize that we have just been fooled and also been kind of made to feel shame or pride or whatever in our breast size or our cup size. But I want you to think about this for a moment, that a 38A, a 36B, a 34C and a 32D are all the exact same size. It's just a smaller or larger band. So this whole idea of like that a woman's breast size defines who she is just way beyond the fashion industry stupidity. We need to let it go. We need to recognize that we have measurements. Those measurements need to fit in the correct gear for us so that we can be comfortable and we cannot cause harm to ourselves. Like, let's be honest, we're talking that our bras are causing, all three of us have caused back, neck pain, you know, breast discomfort as we're moving. And we've just been accepting this. And like Danielle, like you said, my guy always says when we're looking at dry suits for me and I'm being told to get a shiwi, which is a plastic cup that I put so I can pee like a man. And I know a lot of women swear by them. I personally now like the zippers that we carry that unzip and I can keep my butt from being exposed and I can sit and I can pee or squat and pee and be completely covered and not be cold. Like, there are solutions they just haven't been given to us. But now they're out there because women like you are willing to say, no, I'm not settling. I want this for me. However, you're taking a product, and let's talk funding, okay? Funding for women businesses, venture capitalist money. Women used to get 3%. This is exciting, you know, 3% of, even though we are 40% of entrepreneurs are women and growing every single year, female businesses get 3%, and 2.5% of that went to high tech. So 0.5% goes to women like Betts Fitz that are creating solutions in a $25 billion industry. In COVID, that number dropped. And it's like 2.6% that women are getting. I mean, we are talking minuscule amounts, and you're up against huge brands out there. How do you take that on? How are you feeling as you take this on? And how can women support you so that we get the support we actually need? So Danielle or Catherine, how do you want to talk about what it's been like to start this company? I mean, Catherine, you are a mother of two. Your youngest is how old?
He's almost 9 months.
9 months. And you are taking on a $25 billion industry. How are you doing this? And what kind of support do you need from other women?
Yeah, Danielle, I'll let you take on this question.
Sure. Marcy, this is something that's very near and dear to me. I'm very passionate about getting appropriate capital to women and minority-owned businesses. It's so unfair that the existing financial structures, you know, are set up so that, you know, white men are investing in white men. I mean, that's just the systemic bias that's out there in financial institutions and in venture capital in particular. So what often happens for women and people of color is that we're offered loans and loans to grow our business. And as you know, loans have to be paid back. And as you likely know, from having started companies yourself, we can't qualify for loans until you're, you know, able to prove that you're able to pay them back. And so you have to have the revenue to cover that. And what's exceptionally challenging with the kind of companies that I'm really passionate about, which is designing products for women by women in the outdoor industry, is that they're very capital intensive because they require inventory. And so not only did Catherine invest her time and personal resources into the research and development to create the four patented Betts Fitz Sports Bra amazing product, that then we had to have money to be able to do our first large-scale production run. Catherine didn't share that the first beta run of 250 bras, that she spent 9 hours per bra individually sewing the 28 components together. And that she did this for so many sizes. I mean, it ended up being, I think, over 1,000 pattern pieces that she was sewing. And she did all that while she was pregnant with her daughter, Kaylee. So she finished up those runs, you know, in the ninth month of her pregnancy in the bra lab she set up in her parents' basement in the Bay Area. So just, I mean, an amazing story of what female founders and people of color, when they don't get investment, what they're willing to do for their dream and what bootstrapping actually looks like. You know, many people don't know when they start a company that when they're self-funding, they're putting it on their credit cards, they may be taking out, you know, a loan against their house, you know, they're not paying themselves, they're, you know, taking their retirement savings and putting it into just supporting themselves while they're getting a product off the ground and getting their company going. That is actually a financing strategy. And that's primarily how how Betts Fitz has grown is through bootstrapping. We did secure an investment from a family member to help us get that first production run going. But the way women can help us is by actually buying our product or buying women owned. There's many different resources, and obviously, Marcy, you're a huge component of this. We need to support, and it may cost more than to buy from a competitor. Our product is not inexpensive to make. We don't skimp on the highest quality materials. We didn't just sew a front and back together like a t-shirt and call that, you know, a supportive sports bra. You know, all these adjustments, they make a big difference.
You know, and that's what women need to understand, is that if we are going to change and get what we actually need, and that we're not going to continue to settle, that we just can't complain about it and hope that these big companies are going to do it, because they are not going to go out and sew 28 pieces together in all different sizes, because they actually really care that women are getting the right support, that they're comfortable in their sports. They're not going to go out there. They're going to go out there with the intention, okay, well, if we can make money at this, how can we cut corners so that it's good enough? And when women are going out there to solve not only their own problems, but with passion to help other women, they are putting their hearts, their souls, their finances. I mean, I know from starting companies what it's like to go into debt. It's like they talk about the double angel, and the angel is this idea of how many people you can help and all the excitement. And it's like, this is so amazing. And the devil sits on your shoulder that if I fail, I could lose my house. I lost all those years. It is a wake up in the middle of the night, maybe not be able to go to sleep. Have I done the right thing? And when you think about supporting a female company, or, you know, any company like Betts Fitz, and you think, well, I might spend $20 more, you're giving them breathing room. You're giving them room to bring other products to market. You're giving them the support that they need emotionally. And it's so important that we stand together and not just complain, but use our wallet. So, okay, maybe you can go out and you can go to TJ Maxx, but how many women are going to a store like Lululemon that, yes, they're entrepreneurs as well, and spending $120 to $200 on a pair of leggings when you can buy a Betts Fitz bra and know that you are supporting women and know that you're actually getting the kindness and the caring that women have what they need? And so I really thank both of you, because I know how hard this is. I know that you are out there. And like I said, this is no small feat. You're taking on a $25 billion a year industry that has not changed in 100 years to actually support women. That in itself, no matter what happens with this company, is just an unbelievable feat and success. But women, we need to support this company. We need to see them grow. We need to see these women that care so much succeed. And we need this product. So it is a win-win all around. Please go to the link below, buy Betts Fitz, and realize that when you're buying from ETT Adventures, you are supporting the funding of other women designers. We are going to do this as a community and together with women like Catherine and Danielle. And I thank you both for being so courageous in doing this, because it is a remarkable product. And I am so excited that it's gonna be in so many women's lives.
Thank you so much, Marcy. We really appreciate the opportunity, and it's been a really great chat.
So like I said, everybody, please buy the bra. They are so dedicated to your fit and to understanding that you get the right fit. And for, oh, the love of all women, let's really stop thinking that our size is a stigma or something that is important in the least. Breasts are beautiful in all the sizes they come in. This is not a male thing or a male dominated. We need more women saying that breasts are beautiful. They belong in the sports industry. We just need them to be supported properly, just like everything else. Thank you both for being on the show. And all the information you need about Betts Fits is in the link below. And I am so excited for you to try out their product.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of E2T Adventures. Please go to our website, www.e2tadventures.com, and join the movement to make the outdoors more comfortable, safe, and enjoyable for all who identify as female. And remember, you have one life, one body, one playground earth. Go have an adventure.